All right, it's good to see everyone this morning, and I want to try and get started. It is my desire and hope that we can get through all of chapter 2 today. And as you know, we only got through verse 1 and a half last week. Chapter 2 begins by saying, yourselves, brethren. It's a word that we've been using quite often. Starts with a K. No. And we said that that means that you knew yesterday, you know today, and you're going to know tomorrow. And the reason you know is because it's not your knowledge. If you're relying on your knowledge, you won't know today what you knew yesterday. Right. I can assure you that. But if you're relying on God's knowledge, God's truth, you can rest assured what you knew yesterday will be what you know today, and what you know today will be what you know tomorrow, because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Yes.
He doesn't change. His word doesn't change. It's forever settled in heaven. It's not going to change, so we can rely on it. And he says, brethren, you yourselves know that our coming to you, or our entrance to you, was not in vain. Mm-hmm. Now, I gave you a verse in the Old Testament last week. Don't look at notes, I beg you. I gave you a verse in the Old Testament last week that helped clarify that. How he could know that, how they could know that his coming to them wasn't empty. It wasn't ineffective. It wasn't
void.
Now, where did I get void?
Isaiah 55.
He says, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, that it might and returneth not thither, but that it might water the earth, that it might bring forth and bud. In other words, produce. For two reasons. That it gives seed to the sower and bread to the eater. He says, so shall my word be. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper. And I told you to look that word up. Did anyone take the time to look that up in the Hebrew concordance? That's okay. If you get a chance, look it up. Well, I'll just go ahead and give it to you. It means to abundantly prosper. It's not talking about financially prosper. Don't listen to these goofballs. And I call them goofballs respectively. That's sort of an insult to a goofball. God never said if you would give something to him or his cause that he would give you 1,000 times more. Did he?
No,
what he said was, I'll open up the windows of heaven, bless God. I'll pour you out a blessing you can't contain. So that's the idea. And that's why Paul could know it. That's why the Thessalonians could know it. Because it's based on God's word. File that. That'll be important as we go through here. And then he said, for ye yourself know how shamefully I was treated at Philippi. Now, that's where we left off last week, wasn't it? We went over and talked about his mistreatings at Philippi. And you remember what happened? He cast the devil out of this girl that was making them all rich. And all of a sudden, they beat him, and him and Silas, and they put him in prison, right? And they said, now you put him, we want him in the morning. And the guy put him in the inner prison, put him in chains and stocks. But chains and stocks don't do anything when you pray and sing to God. God sort of dismisses stocks. God dismisses stones over a tomb. And so they prayed and they sang. Earthquake came. Stocks fell off. And the jailer went from suicide to salvation. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? From suicide to salvation. Why? Based on God's word. He said, what must I do to be? And Paul says, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all thine heart, you'll be saved. Not only you, but your household. Because you see, what saves your household, folks. Let's don't ever forget that. Boy, if you heard in the prayer room this morning, man, I tell you, I told you, we better grab on to our children with both arms and both knees before God. Because I'm telling you something. This thing's going so fast. And look, it clearly says, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Lot. Well, folks, if you don't think it's the days of Lot right now, I'm sorry for you. You're not paying attention. I mean, you can't even see a commercial anymore without it. I mean, I never thought I'd see two men kissing in a commercial on TV. But you know, it's okay. And we're teaching our children, hey, it's okay if you don't like being a boy, just be a girl. It's okay. No, bless God, it's not okay. Because that's contrary to God's word. And I'll tell you what, I don't say this with any glee. God knows my heart. I say it with you can't understand the pain and the press on my heart when I say, bless God, they're going to hell if they don't believe God. And that's not believing God when you want to come along and say, this is okay. Be what you want to be who you want to be, love who you want to love. Fine. That's your choice. And you know what the Bible says, don't you? As a tree falleth, so shall it lie. And folks, you don't know when the end's coming. Young man on top of the world in a parade celebrating his back-to-back national football championships. Gets in his car with two other buddies. Goes speeding down the road and is gone. I don't know the young man. I'm not saying anything about him. But as that tree fell, that tree lies. If that young man went out of this world without Christ, neither is there any other. For there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be. We better grab on to that, and we better never let go of it. Because if you want your children saved, you want your grandchildren saved, you want your husband and your wife saved, bless God, that's all that's going to do it. And it's up to us. Now, please don't misunderstand this, Nick and Jean. But in the lesson today, I want them to pay particular attention. Because they've been given a position, a calling that others in here have not. I've been given a calling that others in here have not. I need to pay better attention to the lesson today. But each one of us, the Bible says, is given the ministry of reconciliation. Here's what that means. How God reconciled you to Himself through Christ is the same way He will reconcile anyone to Himself, is through His Son. And that's the ministry that we are to give out and we are to live. So, with that being said, let's go. And I'm just going to take each verse and we'll read them, try my best to get through them, give you some points, that you can hold on to that might help you with this chapter. All right. He says, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold. Now, this is some of these words, like I say, I want Nick and Jean to pay particular attention. Not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with you. Like I say, you're both called to the ministry of God. You're called to preach the gospel. Therefore, you have a different you're treated differently. You're expected to be different. So he says, I was entreated at Philippi. We were bold. The word means to be frank. Now, I realize to be blunt is the word. I realize that in today's society, I don't see as much bluntness and frankness as I wish I did. It seems like we want to make it more, and I'm not talking about Uncle Gene, I'm not talking about you, so I'm not pointing at you, okay? I should never open my mouth. Sometimes I shouldn't open my mouth. I told my wife, I shouldn't open my mouth. Every time I open my mouth, I offend her. I don't mean to. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Next thing I know, I open it. But listen, when we give out the gospel, we need to do it with frankness. We need to do it with a bluntness. We need to do it not with worrying about whether we're going to offend somebody or hurt somebody's feelings. Bless God, it'd be better to offend them and hurt their feelings than them to end up going to hell. I'd rather go to heavens with my feelings offended than to hell with them not. So Paul says, listen, I came to you and I came in boldness. I didn't mince words. And you're going to see that as he goes down through. He's defending how he came. And he does it for a reason. I'll get to that. So he says, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. He says, listen, I was bold. I was frank. I was blunt. And I realized that it was going to cause contention when I was there. If you preach the gospel bluntly, Nick, it's going to cause contention. This, he says, I didn't come to bring peace. Bless God, I come to bring a sword. We cannot, in giving out the gospel, we cannot let the world dictate, bless God, how we give it out. Yeah. We're to give it out just like it says. Literally.
That's right.
Not figuratively. Literally. I saw yesterday a commercial. They got one now. It says heavenornot.com. In other words, are you going to heaven or not? And if you want to know, go to heavenornot.com. No, bless God, go to the Word of God. And it ain't heaven or not, it's heaven or hell. But they won't put that in there because that might be offensive to someone. We can talk about you going to heaven, but we can't talk about you going to hell. That's just not good. No, that is good. Jesus talked more about hell than he did heaven, folks. Look it up for yourself. So he says, for our exhortation, anybody want to venture a guess on what that word means? Huh? Well, it can mean that, yes. But here's what it does mean. Our emphatic urging for you to do something. Now, I don't know about you, but I think when you preach the gospel, you ought to be emphatically urging someone to do something. If they're lost, you ought to be urging them to get right. If they're saved, you ought to be urging them to live right, to walk right, to talk right. And you ought to do it with boldness. You ought to do it with frankness. Don't be afraid. Give it. And so he says, for our exhortation was not of deceit. We weren't trying to deceive you. That's the word. I wasn't there to try to deceive you. He said, I didn't do it for uncleanness. My motives weren't impure. I realize there's people that preach the gospel, folks, clearly for their own self-gain. I get that. They'll answer to God for that. But we're to give it out without deceit. We're to give it out with a pure motive. And our motive should be that we're urging you, please, don't die lost. And it should come from way down in here. The Bible calls it bowels. In other words, from the very depths of our heart. It should concern us that people are going to go to hell. If they die lost, they're going to hell. And the frankness must be there. The bluntness must be there. And the pleading must be there. And if it's not in your voice, if it's not in your prayer, there's something wrong. So he says, with impurity. And then he says, with guile. He says, I wasn't trying to trick you. This man is why is he saying all this? Well, you can tell that the Judaizers have come down there and they're lambasting him. They're saying that his motives for coming to you is strictly for himself. And he says, no, I didn't. And you're going to see here in just a second. He says, but as we were allowed of God, as we were accepted of God, as we were approved of God to be put in trust with the gospel. He's talking about himself there, Nick. He's talking about what a great honor God bestowed on him to place this gospel into his hands and go to the Gentiles that they could be saved. And he's saying, God knows my heart. I didn't do it for myself. I wasn't doing it for myself. I was pleading with you because I know what it means to die without God, without Christ. And so he says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men. God forbid that I would ever stand here and try to get you to brag on me. Maybe that's where I had gotten. And maybe God said, son, I got to teach you something. I entrusted this gospel to you, and you wasn't taking it as serious as I want you to. You weren't being as blunt and frank as I want you to be. So let me just show you how quickly, best God, I'd take it from you. Now see, you don't know me. You don't know what it means to me to stand here. You don't know what it means to me all week long. I could show you my Bible. You couldn't read it if you had to. But I'm pouring through it. First of all, because of love. And second of all, because of you. That's why, you know, some people say, oh, Tom, you're just trying to be humble. I don't want you to brag on me, and God knows that. I don't ever want somebody to say, oh, Tom, boy, he's the best teacher around. No, what I want you to say is, boy, I like the way God uses him. Please don't take that as fake humility. I'm just pouring out myself to you this morning because Paul's pouring out his self to you. Not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. That's the exact same Greek word as allowed, as accepted, as approved. So he's saying, look, God approves my heart. I'm just depending on God here. Not of men sought we glory or honor or praise, neither of you nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. The word burdensome there means expensive or overcharged. He knew that as an apostle of God, he had authority. And boy, he could lay that authority down too. He had God's authority to do the authority. He said, no, I didn't want to weight you down. I gave you the wrong word. It means to wait. I got ahead of myself. It means to wait, to put a weight on you. In other words, I didn't want to come in there and legalize you to death. But we were gentle. We were affable. We were kind. We were gentle as a nurse. I want you to follow this now. As a nurse. What does it say? Huh? Cherisheth her children. Now, this was one time I wished Lene was in here, because if I'm not mistaken, don't she work in obstetrics? Doesn't she work where they deliver children? I could have used her this morning. I don't have children. I've never been in a birthing room. I've never been in a room where a child was born into the world. A lot of you have. I've never been a nurse. And here I think the word, really, you could translate midwife, because they didn't have nurses back then, needless to say. Medicine hadn't gone that far. But they had midwives. And what did midwives do? They helped bring the child into the world. And I can just see that midwife, that nurse, when that child is born, she takes it and she cleans it. And she wraps it. And she, listen, I was hoping that little Hannah was here at that little one day. I was going to grab it up. Because you can't look at a little baby and not want to hold it. I don't care if you can, you're a cold person. I mean, you're just a cold person. Because there's something about a newborn child that just makes you want to do that to it. Well, I'll guarantee you that that's what this is talking about here. Paul is showing himself to be that midwife, that nurse. And what he's saying is, I was there when you were born. What does he mean, born? Well, you must be born again. He was there. The gospel, he saw what the gospel did. He knew the gospel wasn't void, wasn't in vain, wasn't ineffective. He knew that they were, and he was there when they were born. And he says, as that midwife, I held you, I cherished you, I loved you. And then he says this, being affectionately desirous of you. The word affectionately there means a longing, a yearning. Now, I'll give you an illustration of myself here. I went to Vietnam in December of 67. And I took with me 8x10 of my little bride of about, at that time, 2.5 weeks. We got married 2.5 weeks before I left. And she was in a green dress top with a scarf. And everywhere I went at nighttime, I couldn't hug her. I hugged that picture. You know why? I longed for her. I yearned for her. I wanted to see her. Paul here is saying, listen, this is how I felt towards you. This is how you should feel towards the congregants, Nick. Gene, this is how you should feel towards those in which you share the gospel with from the pulpit. This is how you should feel an affection, a yearning, longing for the saints of God, but also for the sinners to be saints of God. And he says, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not only the gospel, but our very own souls. The word souls are just simply means yourself, who you are. In other words, you can't just stand up there and throw out the gospel, bless God, and not throw out yourself. Doesn't work that way. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable. I gave you that word in earlier. That's the word that means expensive. Overcharge. In other words, we worked so we wouldn't be a financial burden to you. For one reason, Lynn, and one reason only, that we could impart to you the gospel. He wanted his motives to be without fault, without fail. He wanted them to be pure so that in no way it hindered the message, the gospel that he's giving out. And so he says, for you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses. Let me ask you something. In a courtroom, if you're a witness, you can't witness something about what you heard. That's your say. Doesn't allow it. You can only witness to two things. What is that? Huh? What you see and what you heard directly from someone. Not what you heard indirectly, what you heard directly. And what he's saying here, you're witnesses. You've heard what I preached. You've seen the effect of it. You've seen how it can change people. But he said, not only are you witnesses, God also. Do we forget that sometimes? Do we forget that sometimes? Do we forget that God is privy to everything? Could we really say, God is my witness? That's tough. That's a high bar. That's a high standard. But it's the standard, folks. It's the standard. But you see, if we listen to the world, if we listen to the world's way of explaining the gospel, that standard's not there. That high bar is not there. They want to drag us down to their level so that how they live doesn't bother them. I'm not talking about we're some pious bunch of people. I'm talking about how we defend this book, this word. I'll show you in just a second why that's important. I've got to hurry. I try to go fast. You are witnesses in God also how holy and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves. Our character. Character's everything. You lose your character, you've lost your testimony. That's why your character has to be based on this, folks. It can't be based on your character. It's got to be based on his character. Because if it's based on his character, it ain't going to change. It's going to be holy. It's going to be unblameable. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a... Now, we've went from the new birth and how the nurse cared for the newborn, right? Now he's equating himself to a father. And what a father does is raise a child. It's no longer a baby. It's a child that we're raising. And so what he uses here is three words. He says, we encouraged you. I've never been a father. I've had a father. I can tell you one thing my dad always did without fail. He encouraged me. Even when he knew I was going the wrong way, he encouraged me to go the right way. And then there was times that I went to him broken, sorrowful, hurting. You know what he did, Nick? He did just exactly what this says. The word comforted means to come alongside of. It's the same root word as we get the comforter, the Holy Spirit, paraklesis, which means to come along beside. So what he's saying is, I've encouraged you. And when you needed a hug, I was there. That's the attitude we have to have, Nick. It's the attitude we have to have, Uncle Gene. It's when we give out the gospel, we can't just throw bricks. We have to not just give out the gospel in. We have to give out our very selves, he says. He says, I encouraged you. I came along beside you. And then he uses this word. I charged every one of you. The word means witness. I was an example to you. Every day, I was an example to you. I was showing you how you should be. He says, as a father doth his children. Isn't that what a father does? I just heard Nick this morning talking about how his girls love to come to church and how it just lit him up, just warmed his heart. Well, folks, that doesn't come by accident. I had someone tell me not long ago, all they deal with now is broken family children. You know, they're here this week and they're there this week, and you know, it's hard to get them together. And that's why I say we got to grab on to the children and love them and teach them and be an example in front of them. And Paul says, and I've done all of this. I've shared the gospel with you. I've shared my very soul with you for one reason. And one reason only. This is the next verse, by the way. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you to his kingdom and glory. What he's saying is there's a standard here, folks. If you're a child of God, there's a standard. We're to walk worthy of that. My goodness, think of that. Think of what the kingdom of God is like. Think of what the glory of God. The word glory there just simply means praise, honor, worship. What he's saying is, I've called you to my kingdom. And in that kingdom one day, bless God, you're going to get to praise me. You're going to get to honor me. And you're going to get to worship me. And Paul says, that's the only reason that I live the way I live. That's the only reason that I give out the gospel, is for the sake and the glory and the honor of God. That you might walk worthy of God, who hath called you, invited you, allowed you into his kingdom and glory. Then he says this, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing. You notice that's, if you go back and read all the epistles, there's two things that you're going to find throughout all the epistles, including Romans, which some people don't call it an epistle, I do. Epistle just simply means a letter. I think it's a letter to the Roman people, last time I checked, so I call it an epistle. That's okay, I won't argue over that. But in all of them, two things you will find the same. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. You will find it in all of them. Why? Because all of them are in the church, folks. All of them are in the church, not a church, the church. And in the church you get grace, and in the church you get peace. We talked about that. But the other thing that you will find in relation to all of them is that he is always saying, I thank my God always or without ceasing for you all. When you pray of a morning, do you thank God for each one in here? Do you just, you know, look, I'm the world's worst, and I admit it, I admit it. I can't think of all your names sometimes. I'll be honest with you. But I never miss your face. You don't know how many times I've said, Lord, you know who I'm talking about. Because I see you. And I know that you're going to face that day. And I want you to face it with God. And I want you to be bold. And I want God to meet your needs. What we're to do. That's got to be our attitude. That's got to be our motives. But here's the gist of it. Here's the key to it all. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God. Now that's talking about their new birth. When you received the word of God. He says, you received it not as the word of men. God forbid that anyone would ever hear me teach, Nick preach or Gene preach, and say, well, now this is what Nick said, or this is what Tom said, or this is what Gene said. If you accept it as our word, you're in bad shape. Because he says, when you received the word of God, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God. The word of God. Folks, listen, I know the world calls it a Bible and all that. I get that. I don't refer to it as the Bible much. Maybe sometimes. Biblios, you know. It's the Word of God. It must be treated as the Word of God. Because if it's treated as the Word of God, the Bible says this, in the beginning was the Word. This is the incarnate Son of God, folks. Romans says this, it calls it the Gospel of God. But then it goes on to expand that. It says, concerning his son. And then it goes on to expand that. It says, who was declared to be his son. Now, what that says, I'm coming over here, Lynn's on one paying attention to me. What that says is this, Lynn. The gospel is about God first. The gospel is about Christ as God first. And then he goes on to say, and with the seed of David in the flesh. So two things you better know about Christ, and you better believe it with all your heart, mind, and soul. He is God and the God-man. That's the gospel. Because you see, God can't die. So God couldn't send himself to die. God can't die. Who's going to die for our sins? He had to come in the flesh, somebody that can die. So what you say is, well, okay, so I believe he's a God. I believe he's the God-man. So why did he come in the flesh? Oh, so that he could die for our sins. See how it leads you to what you have to know about him is you. You are a sinner. I am a sinner before we're saved. After you're saved, my friend, please don't call yourself a sinner. Please don't say I'm a sinner saved by grace. Because you ain't a sinner. You're a saint. You're in the church. You're a child of God. A far different cry. Far different. So he says, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually. Effectually. Now, I'm going to give you that word. There's a verse in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says this. For the word of God is quick, which means it's alive, and it's, y'all don't remember that verse? Powerful. That's the word here. It means active. It means it will affect you. One way or the other. Hey, you know, some people think, oh, if you believe it, it affects you. Well, I got news for you. The word of God's going to affect you. If you reject it, the word of God says that he's going to cast you into the lake of fire. Well, if that ain't affecting you, I don't know what is. That would affect me. Wouldn't it you? So we know that the word of God is alive and it's effective. It's active. It's not stationary. It's moving. And it's sharper. Here's what that word means. Y'all ever do what? Yeah, well, we're on sharper. That's all right. That's all right. It's hard to keep her. You know, she's moving. I mean, she ain't got time for one word. Anybody ever see these commercials, you know, where they're talking about the Jinsu knife or what kind of knife is that? You know, and they, you know, and they got these tomatoes and they, whoosh, 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 you know, they're cutting them tomatoes and they hold up a piece of paper and they, whoosh, you know, like that. That's the idea here. In other words, it doesn't take, you know, that. You don't have to saw. It means one blow. It's sharper. It's one blow. One blow will do it. One blow will save you, or one blow will condemn you. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the bone and the marrow. Well, everyone knows what that is, don't you? The bone's what's on the outside. The marrow's what's on the inside. It'll straighten you up on the outside, friend. You know, people say they get right with God and they're still the same on the outside as they was. I don't know. It says it's changed the outside and the inside. But then it says this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It knows all your motives. That's why if we get in it, it'll show you. You know, I think that's why a lot of people don't like to get in it. You remember what he says? When you look into the perfect law of liberty, don't forget what you saw. It'll show the smudge on your face so that you won't go out and people say, oh, God. Do they know they got that dirt all over their face? I'm making a point there. It'll show you what other people might see. You need to get rid of it. What people needs to see is someone with pure motives, a love for others. So wonderfully said by Les just a couple Sundays ago when he talked about love and compassion. There's a difference, folks. There's a difference. I know that compassion is that active part of love. But true love has compassion. Remember it says, and Jesus looked on them with compassion. He loved them. He cared for them. I got to hurry. They're starting to gather up. So I got to hurry. Okay, let me move on. And then he goes on to talk about, for ye brethren became followers of the churches of God. Now the churches are the same as the church. It just simply means the called out ones of different locations. Because he goes on to say, the churches of God which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Same place they were, in Christ Jesus. I don't care be you Jew or Gentile in this world. If you are in Christ, you are in the church. If you are out of Christ, you are not in the church. You're not in the family of God. And hell is your home. Until that changes. Now, so he goes on to say, and he says, and they didn't want us to go and preach unto you. He says, who both kill the Lord Jesus and their own prophets and have persecuted us and please not God and are contrary to all men. When it says and please not God, what does that tell you? What does that tell you? For without faith it is impossible to please God. So what does that tell you? Bless God they didn't have faith. All right, if they didn't have faith, what does that tell you? They didn't believe in Jesus Christ and the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what it tells you. That's what faith is, folks. Faith is not a denomination. Faith is not an ideology. Faith is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the God-man, and the finished work of him on the cross. Don't believe that and you're lost. Believe it and you're saved. So he says, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath of God is... Now, does anyone remember the last verse in chapter 1? And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, who hath delivered us from... wrath to come. Okay, that means future. This don't. Let me tell you something. God's wrath's going to come in the future. But God don't have to wait till the future to lay it on you. He laid it on them. That's what it says. You can look that word up. It's a different word. It means now. So he says, sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. I like that word, uttermost. You know what it means? You know what it means? Oh, this is so good. Complete payment. Let me say something. When God pays you, it'll be in full. One way or the other, when God pays you, it's going to be in full. If he pays you with salvation, it'll be to the uttermost. He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. But reject Christ, and I'm telling you, he will pay you with wrath in full. But we, brethren, being taken from you a short time in presence and in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? He says, what am I getting out of this? I've had pure motives. I've preached the gospel. What am I getting out of it? Oh, he says, are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You know what your reward will be, Dan? It'll be all those who heard the word that you preached. All those whom you poured out your very soul to in caring for them. And to see them coming with Christ will be all the glory, all the reward, all the praise you'll ever want. That's what he says. And finishes it like this. For you, are our glory and joy. If we don't teach, and if we don't preach with passion, with compassion, with concern, and pure motives, wanting nothing for ourselves except to see others with him when he comes, we're wrong, Nick. We're wrong, Gene. We're wrong, Dan. We can't just give this out. We have to give this out. See you next week.